You want to read along, I'd encourage you to. Because I'm fixing to probably destroy some of these names. But we'll do the best we can. 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to be talking about Ahab's son, one named Micaiah. You start reading about Ahab in the 16th chapter of 1 Kings, and Elijah has a whole lot of one that's dealing with Ahab, his wife Jezebel. You find in the 21st chapter there towards the end that it talks about how evil a king and bad of king Ahab was. But even at the end of that, you find where even he, in the last verse of that 21st chapter, Ahab humbled himself and seemed to have repentance. So, but what's on our heart today is, I guess it's just growing more and more all week, is about the truth. And us standing for the truth. Sometimes, if you stand for the truth, you'll stand alone. And sometimes that hard is a hard stand. And Marty talked about that this morning, that sometimes, and boy, I thought, boy, he's a whole lot, man, seems like here lately, me and him's been going along the same ways. But, boy, sometimes when you take a stand, a lot of people will get upset with you. I've noticed even here, I can preach on something pretty tough and nobody will hop up and endorse it very much. You know why that is? Most would say, well, Marty might tell me or some of y'all might say, well, it's kind of stepped on their toes. No, the truth is, you know, when that man of God stands up there and preaches on something really hard, you don't want to be acquainted with him right then, because you know everybody's thinking, you know, I'd like to take him out back, you know, right about now. So that's the truth about it. I know how it is. I get it. It's hard to stand up and endorse it when it's tough. Amen. But I thought about the men in my lifetime that's been willing to stand when nobody else was. Amen. And I'm thankful for them. I got to thinking about when I was a boy growing up, there was a man, and I had to write his name down because I can't hardly say his last name. But he was a news guy. He was a news anchor. And that's where I'm going to take my thought, what my thought's going to, that's the way it is. That man, Walter Cronkite, I believe that's the way you say it, he just read the news. He didn't give you his opinion. He didn't try to make it into being nothing else but what happened. And that's the way it used to be, and you could believe the news when you heard it. I don't ever remember anybody saying, I don't believe Walter today. I don't think that's the way it was. Everybody said, Walter said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. He just read it. He didn't have an agenda. And then I look at the news media today, and the confidence in the news media is rock bottom. I mean, I don't believe the most accurate thing on the news is the weather, and they're right about 50% of the time. So, I mean, if that's your accuratest thing to do with the news, the rest of it ain't worth nothing. And then I think about men of God today and how we've become so weak. We become men pleasers. We become to a point that we don't tell it like it is anymore because it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. And I want you to know the Word of God is offensive. If you don't think it is, you just read it just a little while. You're going to find some things in there that's going to hurt you. It's not always going to be sweet. It's not always going to taste good. But I thought about the men that through my life that didn't care to tell the truth and stood on truth. And I'm thankful for each one of them. But when we stand up here, we need to tell people that there is a place, a fair haven for the weary. Amen. It's heaven and it's beautiful. But we also need to tell them that hell is hot. And if you're never saved by God's grace, you're going to go there. That's just the way it is. And we shouldn't work around it or make it any softer or any harder. And I began to study this and about this man that we're going to talk about that took a stand here to the king. And the king hated him. But he said, I'm going to say what the Lord gives me to say. And it seemed like at one point he hadn't given him nothing to say yet. At that point when he said, I'll give him what the Lord. And at one point he said, one of them told him, he said, you just tell it like the rest of them is. And that'll please the king. Everybody can be happy. And he said, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to tell it as the Lord give it to me. And it seemed it had to give it to him at that point. So when they asked him, what do you have to say? He said, well, just go on. It'll be okay. Just go on the battle. But it seemed like then right after that, God laid something to him. Amen. And the king kind of questioned him. You never said anything good about me before. Why are you doing it now? And all of a sudden, he tells him. And as I've studied over this, I went through it. I've read it, you know, Sheila. I've sat over and read this 100 times. I've read it to myself. I've read it out loud. I've listened to it on every recording, trying to get these names down. I'll destroy them. I will. But as I went through this, I'm going to have to read a bunch, and you're not going to be happy about it. And I kept saying, Lord, I can't read. They don't want to listen to me read this much. 1 Kings 22. Y'all ain't got there yet. That way you can straighten up my messes. But then I thought about where I was getting my thought from this Walter Cronkite. Amen. And he just read it. And I thought, why am I trying to get it out of reading all this? Just read it, and that's the way it is. So if you got your Bible, if you'll turn with me, we're going to have to, let me go over here and see where we're going. If nothing don't change, and it could, we're going to have to read 38 verses. So it might take 2 minutes. It might take 5. I timed that Alexander Strode guy that reads so good and pretty. He read it in 2 minutes. I'm not going to make it in 2 minutes. So y'all be patient with me. But I want you to just get this. Amen. This man was willing to tell the king. And we're going to find other men that was willing to do that. And I'll try not to be very long. I was too long last week. And I try not to be long. I want, when you leave here, that you not to be just wore out. I heard a preacher say one time, they said, well, Paul preached to one fell out of the window and died. And I said, brother, we're not trying to kill him. Amen. We're not. I mean, I know everybody's different. Some men are longer-winded preachers, and some might preach 10, some might preach an hour and a half. That don't matter to me. It really don't. But for me, I try to get through it. I want you to leave here and be able to get something out of it. And sometimes if we're so long, I noticed last Sunday, some that probably wouldn't, that I was losing you. We can tell that. So there comes a point that we got to get done. I know I keep rambling on, so let's try to get started. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, which would be Ahab. And the king of Israel said unto the servants, know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me in battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Even though there may have been a difference in us at this time, and a separation there, they still come together. And he was willing. I wish we could get a hold of that. And he said, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. And listen, this is a bunch of men, the prophets here. And he said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead unto battle, or shall I forbear or not go? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto thy hand, the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not another prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doeth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called the officer and hastened hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each at their throne, having put on their robes and a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them, and Zedekiah, the son of Chadai, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with thee shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them. And all the prophets, all the prophets, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. So they all agreed for them to go up, and it would be delivered. They would win the battle. And the messenger that was gone out to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. There was one mind and one accord. And the Bible says we should be that, but in the truth. I don't care. I want to stop right there just for a minute. They ain't used to it, still there. Down on 141 at Green Grove, where Pleasant Valley Road joins up to our, used to we'd be going to Lafayette from down Sheila and them's mamas, and we'd come there, and I'd always stop there at the end of Pleasant Valley Road going into 141. You're supposed to stop. And my wife said, why do you always stop here? Everybody else just yields and go on. They slow down a little bit, go on. And her brother said, just because the rest of the world is wrong and he's right, don't mean he's wrong. And so sometimes, though you may have to stand by yourself and everybody else take a stand against you, and you're the only one willing to stand up and tell the truth, then let it be what it is. That's the way it is. Tell the truth, no matter if it skins every cow in Texas. Sometimes it'll be that way. Sometimes they're not going to like what you're going to have to say. Sometimes, brother and sister, they're going to hate you. And that's the truth. That's the way it is. And the messenger said that was gone unto Micaiah, speaking to him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So at this point, I don't think the Lord has spake to him yet. He said, what he's going to speak. Sometimes when I get up here, I don't know what I'm going to say, but he gives it to me as I stand here. I study and try to be prepared just like this week, but you never know where it's going to go. But he said, so it came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, Shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So he went along with what everybody else had said. And the king said unto him, how many times have I adjured thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is the true in the name of the Lord? So he knew when he got up there and he murdered him up a little bit, and he knew there's something wrong. I want you to know, the day that I get up here and I start sweetening this up a little bit, you're going to know that something's wrong. And this man knew something had changed here about Micaiah. He knew something was different. And you need to recognize when the man of God is not telling you the truth. Y'all pray for me. And he said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. The Lord has done what to speaking to him. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said unto this manner, and another said at this manner, and they came forth a spirit as it stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be in the lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, and he go forth and do so. And therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. I saw that. I believe there was an evil spirit come before the Lord and said, I'll go and I will be in the mouth of the prophets. And I want you to know, they follow that spirit. The Bible says, we're not to follow every spirit, but we're to discern the spirits. And I want you to realize this was an evil spirit. And just like he let Satan go up against Job, I want you to realize he used these men to get what he wanted done. I want you to know, you're a preacher here today, don't you follow every spirit. You make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Something may sound awful good at the moment. This may sound like, boy, I've never heard nobody preach on this before. This is really good. This is going to be some of the best stuff. They're going to love it. I want to tell you something. You better be careful. If it don't line up with everything else, it's wrong. It better line up from one part of the Bible to the other part. I've heard people say, well, what does this belief believe? And I'll give them a couple of verses why they believe what they believe. And they say, well, what do we believe? We believe the rest of it. I want you to know, the Bible better line up with what you believe from the beginning, when he said in the beginning, God, until even so, Lord Jesus, come. I want you to realize we better, every bit of it better line up. But Zedekiah, the son of Chinian, went near and smote Micaiah in the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber and hide thyself. And the king of Israel took Micaiah and carried him back into Ammon, the governor in the city of Joash, and the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and affliction, and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And listen to what this man said. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me, and he hath hearkened unto all the people, every one of you. He said, if you return at all, let alone in peace, then God ain't spoke to me. And now we're going to find out he don't return. I want you to realize this man was willing to stand and preach the truth no matter what had come of him. Amen. We live in a time today that, like I said about the media, no matter how they all just speak lies, they all got their own agenda. And I want you to realize, I believe the most part, I don't believe in our ranks, but the most part of the religious world today uses a pulpit as just something to strain forth lies. I want you to realize today how we need to tell the truth, and God's people need to recognize the truth. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judea, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said, unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. So in other words, he was going to try to go with something besides the king. He knew what they was going to be coming after him because what the man of God had done told him. So he was going to disguise himself, and he wanted Jehoshaphat to go and maybe the world to look like the king. And I believe in hopes that they would come after him and kill him and rather than himself. And Jehoshaphat agreed with it. I will disguise myself and enter the battle, but thou put on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. And the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with a small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass that the captain in the church saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. But listen, Jehoshaphat cried out. I want you to know, hey, I believe he said, it ain't me you're looking for. You're looking for the other one, the other king, the evil king. I believe he let it be known. And it came to pass when the captain of the church perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him, and a certain man drew a bow at an adventure and smote the king of Israel between his joints and the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of the chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased in that day, and the king stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at evening, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about going down unto the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country, exactly what Micaiah told him would happen. And so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king of Samaria, the king in Samaria, and he was washed in a chariot, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now we'll take from my text, and I apologize. No, I don't. I had to read all that. God said you got to read it. It was. Wouldn't have went right if I didn't read it. You need to know the truth. That's the way it is. There was 400 men told a lie, followed the wrong spirit, and there was one man that stood up and told the truth when nobody else would. And this man was arrested for this because he loved God rather than man. He said, as the Lord liveth, I'll speak what the Lord gives me. Paul in the Galatians 1 and 10, for I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I want you to realize today, when we stand in a pulpit and to tell people that's the way it is, I wish you to tell the truth no matter how much it may hurt. Sometimes I preach things that bother me. I believe more than the hearers. Brother Larry called me Monday and tried to encourage me. And me and him talked a while about how guilty me and him was of the very thing I'd preached on Sunday about your tongue. I want you to realize everybody here last Sunday was guilty of that at some point or another. Every one of us is honest. We're guilty of it. But I promise you there was people left here last Sunday not happy with the man of God. I promise you there was people left here last Sunday not happy with what I saith the Lord. I promise you there was people left here last Sunday that wasn't happy with me. I want you to know what the truth is. We need to be willing to stand Amen. And tell it. Amen. We got too many men pleasers today. Amen. And I want to tell you something. There's times I guess maybe I'm one of them. I got respect for some of y'all more than you'll ever know. When Marty Meadows stands up back there after I get through preaching and say, Bud, I enjoyed the message. Yeah, it meant a lot to me. It done me good. I want you to know, Bud, that means something to me and it helps me. But I'd leave here and God talk to me all the way home and say, you done exactly what I told you to do. Amen. And pat me on the back and everything that just don't seem like it means as much to me, because it just seems like when you hear it come out of some man's voice, it's better. But it ain't. I told y'all 2 or 3 weeks ago that I got where there was a man come talk to me and told me I was going to have to settle down, quit worrying so much. You know something? I've still been sleeping for 3 weeks now. For 3 weeks, I'm still sleeping. You say, well, Brother Jeff, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable. My pastor been feeling that good about things, he can go home and sleep. Well, I don't care if you're comfortable with it or not. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I didn't sleep. Amen. I'm tired of laying in bed and worrying all night long what God's laid on my heart. I'm tired of when I preach and I tell somebody is upset about it, going home and looking at their face all night long. Fear not their faces, Jeremiah. I'll give you words. I'll touch their mouth. I'll give you what to say. Don't be afraid of them. I want to tell you, this is a hard job. And pastoring is even harder. You think preaching is harder. You try to be responsible for this many people. And their spiritual well-being. You're responsible for their kids being saved. Them hearing the gospel. And you try to study and you try to prepare yourself. And then you get up and tell the truth, and everybody looks at you just like, why in the world are you preaching this for? There was one named John the Baptist. There was a king named Herod. That king had took his brother Philip's wife, and he wasn't supposed to have done it. He took his wife, and there was a man named John stood up. The king told him, Amen. You ain't supposed to have your brother's wife. He told him. And it made his wife mad, and I want you to know it made the king mad. But the king didn't want to kill him because he knew the people loved John. If he was afraid if he did it, people would turn on him. King got all big and drunk and was having a party. The his wife's daughter gets up and dance. He told her, just whatever you want, I'll give it to you. The mother persuaded the daughter to tell him that I want the king's head or John's head. Herod brought his head to him on a platter.
Amen.
Just like Micaiah talking to the king, talking to somebody that had power. I want to tell you something. Brother Michael went up here a while back, and they went up there and they had a meeting there in Washington. I was praying every one of them Democrats and Republicans would get saved. If the president hadn't been saved, I prayed he did.
Amen.
But I'll promise you, Brother Michael, if they'd all come out there and stood in Donald's front, Trump would have took a seat right there in the front row and looked you right in the eye the whole time you preached to him. It'd been more difficult than looking at Sean, because there's pressure there. That man has pressure to change your life. He has power to be able to cast you in prison. He has power to take everything you got. He's got power.
Amen.
I wonder if I would have the same liberty.
Amen.
To preach to him like I would Donna. Would I be the same feller as I am right here? It didn't seem to change John the Baptist, Don.
No.
I thought about Nathan.
Amen.
He's coming to the king, and he sets him up. He really does. That's all you can say about it.
Yep.
He comes, and he talks about a lamb. A man's got a lamb. He sets him all up for all this and gets the king all worked up. I want to tell you, if I was King David, I would probably have been just a little bit mad at Nathan. Because he set him up for it. He set him up. He said he got him all prepared. And he said he's took his lamb. And this man, this rich man had everything. Here he is. He's got this man. This poor man had one little ewe lamb that he raised up to be his own. He loved her. And that just riled David up. And he got so mad. And he said, as the Lord liveth, this man should die. And he said, you are the man. I want you to realize when he said that, it had to cut him to the bone. And I promise you, it didn't only make him come to a place to repent, but he probably didn't think much of Nathan right then. But Nathan told him the truth anyway. I can't imagine how that was to stand there in front of the king and get him all stirred up and riled up and all at once say, but you're the one that deserves to die. I'm fixing to be done. I was going to read from Ezekiel chapter 2, and you can read that. You can read from Ezekiel chapter 2 to 4 through 8, but I'm just going to read Ezekiel 3, 17 through 20, or 19. Hang with me just a minute. I'm going to finish.
Amen.
So the Son of Man have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give it them warning from give them a warning from me. He said, you hear the word, watchman, and you give them the warning.
Amen.
From me. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not a warning, nor speakest a warn to the wicked from the wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. We read that again. When I say unto the wicked, when I say unto thee, when I say unto thee, wicked, thou shalt surely die,
thou shalt givest him not, and then thou givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at thy hand. And yet if I warn the wicked, and he turn from his wickedness and from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Amen.
So he gave the watchman, and I'm a watchman, and I'll be honest, I believe you're a watchman too. But he said, if I tell you to warn them and you don't warn them, and they die. And I believe this is be talking mostly to lost people, but I believe it can be talking to anybody that's in error. Just like Herod was in error with his taking his brother's wife. I believe just like Nathan was in error. I mean, David was in error, and Nathan come and warned him. I believe just like Ahab was in error and his wife Jezebel. And he sent Elijah and Micaiah. I don't know why he didn't hate Elijah. Elijah seemed like he was a whole lot harder on him to me than what Micaiah was. That's the only thing I read about Micaiah up to this point. Elijah had wore him out. But yeah, for some reason he hated him. But he went ahead and told them the truth, and the blood was not required at his hand. And then I read to you over in Galatians, and that was the Apostle Paul doing the speaking there about whether he should please men or please God. And then the Apostle Paul said something in the 20th chapter of Acts, and I've read it many times, and I believe it. I believe Paul done this. And it's amazing to me that he did. In the 26th verse, he said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men."
Amen. Amen.
He had warned them night and day, if you'll go on and read, with tears. "For I have not shunned declaring to you the whole counsel of God."
Amen.
He had not left out one thing. If I want you to know, if it was people there involved in homosexuality, he told them.
Amen.
He told them it was wrong. A man shouldn't lay with a man as he lay with a woman. If there was people there that was committing adultery, he told them it was wrong. If you took another man's wife, he told them it was wrong.
Yeah.
I want you to realize if you was a thief, he told them it was wrong.
Yeah.
If you was lost, he told them they need to be saved.
Yeah.
He told them just exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
He didn't care to tell them. And because of that,
yeah,
he was free from the blood of all men. He was one that didn't care. He stood in front of the king. "Oh, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe." "This thing wasn't done in a corner," he said.
"That's right.
This wasn't hid from you."
Yeah.
Listen to me. He went to Rome. He stood there in front of Caesar. He gave his defense, and he preached there daily. He called out Peter.
Amen.
When Peter was down there with the Gentiles, he come to Peter. He called him out. He just didn't care to tell what was the truth. You know why? He loved God more than he did.
Amen.
Anything else, even his own life. You love God enough to tell the truth.
Amen.
When you sit down with your friend and they say, "Well, I was baptized. I believe I'm saved." Do you love them enough to say that ain't going to get you
Amen.
To heaven? when somebody, when you sit down with your best friend and they say, well, I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. And listen, I know there comes a point there is some accepting both ways. But do you love them enough to ask them about their testimony and find out if they've ever truly been born again? When you got people in your church, you know that's doing this and doing that. God gives you the words to go tell them.
Amen.
Do you love them enough to stand up and tell the truth? Whether the crowd's going to be half the size next week as it is this week, will you tell them the truth?
Amen.
Will you just read from the unadulterated word of God
Amen.
And tell the truth about it? Are we a Micaiah? Are we a John the Baptist? Are we a Nathan? Are we a Paul? Are we a Peter?
Yeah.
Most of all, are we a child of Christ? Are we a servant of Christ?
Right.
I tell the truth and lie not.
Amen.
Sometimes the truth is hard. Sometimes you'll be by yourself.
Yeah.
And one come over there, smacked him in the cheek, my guy in the cheek. Where did that spirit come from?
Yeah.
He said, you're going to find out when you're in your chamber.
Yeah.
I want you to realize, just tell the truth if you have to do it by yourself.
Amen.
If you're the only one left standing, then stand alone. So that's the way it is. And this is the way he would sign off. That's the way it is. August the 3rd, Sunday.
Amen.
August the 3rd, 2025. It's not changed.
Amen.
That's the way it is. I'm thankful I'm standing in front of y'all today and say I've tried my very best. Be free from the blood of you. I've preached on some things before that hurt my feelings and hurt yours, that my family has been guilty of, your family's been guilty of. I've been guilty of. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. And I stand up here and I study all week long. I'm telling you, I told you last week that a message affected me more than anything I ever preached. You know why? I'd been so guilty of not biting my tongue. That's why it affected me more. But I was still willing when he laid it on my heart to come and preach it, to do it. Why? God, I want to be not guilty of your blood. I apologize for slaying the names. But he knows my ability. I wanted to read it, boy. I wanted to read it like Walter Cronkite would have read it. I wanted to at least read it like Larry reads it with confidence, whether you're right or wrong.
Right.
At least believe what you're reading right. That's what he does. Every once in a while, I know he's wrong on one or two of them, but he says it with such confidence, I even believe it. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Brother Brandon.
Amen.
There's times it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be times that you're standing among a bunch of people and you're going to feel like you're by yourself. But you know who was there with Micaiah? God was there with him and he was giving him the words
Amen.
When nobody else wanted to hear it. He helped him. when they said throw him in prison, God went with him. When they said cut his head off, cut John's head off, God was there with him. Fair haven for the weak. That's where he went. They swung a blade and he lifted his eyes up in glory. When the Lord sent Nathan, I don't find where nothing happened to Nathan. Reckon that's one of the reasons David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
When he heard the truth, he accepted the truth.
Amen.
He repented and went on. His son Solomon was that wise man. He'd been a lot better off if he'd done the same thing.
Amen.
I guess that's the way it is. I done said it once. I won't say it again. Yeah, I am. That's the way it is. Sunday, August the 3rd, 2025.
Amen.
That's my message, Brother Sean, if you got a song.